Leaving one's country to build a new life here in the U.S. can be a really difficult step to take. Even when it involves legally issued visas, the process can mean a long and painful separation from loved ones. That was the case for Dan Carino. Dan's an illustrator and political cartoonist based in California. He recently did some work for us online as part of our Walls We Don't See immigration series. Dan was born in the Philippines, so we asked him to share and illustrate his own family's story of coming to America. That's when Dan realized he didn't really know much about it.
As a matter of fact, you know, even as a family, we haven't even really discussed fully, you know, the experiences that we went through when we moved here to the U.S. So it was something that I really had to go back and revisit, and it was definitely revealing.
Dan's father came to the U.S. from the Philippines to work as a nurse in 1982. He left behind a wife and three boys, including Dan. His father was granted a work permit, but not U.S. residency, so his family couldn't join him. Dan was just 4 years old at the time. He was eight when his mother also found work in the U.S. He was 13 when he saw them again. So to a large extent, he and his two younger brothers grew up without their parents.
I was living with an uncle and two aunts at the time during the school year in this apartment in Quezon City. And during the summer, we'd get sent over to my grandma's in the province of Isabela. So our life was really kind of divided up into, you know, a life in the city during the school year and a life in the province.
How often were you in touch with your parents?
Not a lot, just because at the time, you know, there was no Skype, there was no WhatsApp, and we didn't have a phone in our apartment. So we actually had to go to the main office of the Philippine long distance company, stand in line with a lot of folks trying to reach their loved ones in other parts of the world. And we would call collect, and the cost of a collect call back then was a lot. My mom told me that, you know, half of our paycheck went to the cost of talking to us on the phone. So it was, we would try to do it maybe like once a month, every other month, and that was it.
What year are you finally able to go to the U.S. with your brothers to join your parents?
That was in 1991, September of 1991.
So that was almost 10 years.
Right.
And do you remember your first impressions? I think you arrived in San Francisco.
We arrived in San Francisco, and then we flew back down to L.A., to go home to Riverside at the time. And by the time that we got to Los Angeles, it was nighttime. I remember just driving on the 91 freeway or the 60 freeway and feeling like it was a big world just because of the space and how it seemed like everything was working efficiently. Cars were all going the same way and it was all structured. And yeah, and I remember playing basketball the very first night we arrived, and I played basketball with my brothers the whole night because we had our own hoop in the backyard that my dad had built. And in the Philippines, there were no basketball courts, even though we loved the sport so much. And you would just find, you know, makeshift hoops in every corner. And it was amazing to come home to, hey, you have your own basketball hoops now. You can shoot it.
How old were you when you arrived in 1991?
I was already 13. So, you know, I sort of have had an idea of who I wanted to be in the world, or at least I thought so. I honestly didn't want to come to the U.S. at the time. I thought my friends and, you know, my future was in the Philippines.
Your father was able to get permanent residency in part because his employer in California helped sponsor his green card. And so, you know, you arrive and your parents had another child while they were in the U.S., so you had another brother.
Right, yeah. Mark, who's the youngest brother, was born in California. And the first time we met him was in 1991 when my parents came back to pick us up. And we've only seen him in pictures up to that point.
Your father and mother have explained the cost of their absence by saying to you, it was the cost of securing a future for our family. Did that mean much to you at the time they said it to you, and does it mean something different today?
Of course, of course. At the time, I didn't really fully understand what they were sort of doing and what they were sacrificing. And I didn't understand why we had to be separated at the time. And also what they were chasing. The American dream was unfamiliar to me at the time as a kid. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what America stood for and the opportunities that it presents for a different life. But today, especially when I look at other stories, I do realize that, yes, you know, these are decisions and opportunities that folks are willing to take at this point. And the sacrifice sometimes are great, and that affects families.
I'm just, you don't have to answer this, but I was curious, when you were reunited in the United States in 1991, did it take a while to have your parents feel like parents to you, based on the fact that you were raised for so many years not by them?
Yes. And during that time, I did, you know, sort of understand, like, the nuclear family and who they were. But I think my challenge at the time was to sort of demonstrate to my brothers as well that these are your parents, because they're the ones that really did not understand who my mom and dad were at the time. And they fully didn't understand why they were here in the U.S. As a matter of fact, my brother Chris, after a few weeks, or I think a couple of months here in the U.S., began asking when are we going to go back to the Philippines, because he's seen America. So that didn't really sink in with them.
Because they were younger.
Exactly, like the permanence. They thought they were here for a trip, you know, to go see Disneyland, SeaWorld, and all this stuff, and they were going to go back to the Philippines. And also my parents, I know that they struggled to sort of raise four boys that were not, or at least three of us, that were not used to having parents around. So we weren't the easiest kids to kind of, you know, raise at that point.
What was it like for you emotionally going back over this time in your life?
It was definitely tough. It brought back a lot of heartbreak, but it also answered a lot of the resentment that I felt at the time, or even sort of kind of like growing up with questions that were left unanswered. So this process really sort of kind of outlined to me what my parents were trying to do, and that they really had our best interest in mind, regardless of what I thought at the time was them just being, you know, just leaving their kids. So it was a lot of emotions going back. I definitely cried a couple of times in the process, and so did my mom when I interviewed her. Because, you know, you do remember the times, you do remember the separation, and a lot of that is still very much, you know, inside of me. And these are the experiences that I've carried since I got to the U.S.
Dan Carino is a graphic journalist and political cartoonist. He's drawn and written about his own experience emigrating to the United States from the Philippines for our ongoing series, Walls We Don't See. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Carol.
You really have to see Dan's beautifully illustrated story about his family's journey to America. It's at PRI.org.